Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, now that we know the result of the Dallas-Detroit game from Monday Night Football, the picture for Sunday Night Football at Ford Field coming up for Packers-Lions starts to get a little bit clearer in that it could be that both the Packers and Lions might be playing for their season to stay alive, or it's also possible both could already be in the playoffs by the time kickoff rolls around and they're playing for the difference between a division championship and a wild card. But either way, the stakes are going to be pretty high Sunday night.
Absolutely, Mike. And I think everybody was watching that Dallas-Detroit game kind of thinking and wondering, okay, what does this mean either way? And as it turns out, with Detroit's loss, that NFC North championship now is going to be really paramount for both of these teams. There is the backdoor option that potentially Green Bay could still get in regardless, but no matter how you shake it out, I think it's this typical kind of thing where now you have two teams in one division title and a chance to get to the playoffs. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this week plays out, Mike. You have Detroit now going on a short week. You have the Packers with two extra days of rest. And now the game obviously has been flexed to prime time, 7:30. So
right.
Everything will be on the line. And as a couple guys talked about in the locker room on Monday, they're fully expecting having to sit in their rooms thinking about it for a little bit longer, but also not losing focus of the ultimate goal here.
Yeah, for sure. And just to lay out the scenarios so that everybody understands, for this to become essentially a do-or-die game for both teams, it hinges on the Washington Redskins against the New York Giants, which will be going on late Sunday afternoon leading into the Sunday night game. If the Redskins win, the Lions versus Packers essentially becomes a playoff game in and of itself. The winner will win the division and go in. The loser is out, and the season is over.
Right. And something like I think I want to ask you,
okay,
because that's what I do here. I ask questions. If you were a Packer fan, Dallas versus Detroit, what should you have been hoping for? Because I know we get talked about, you know, the strength of schedule stuff. I guess when I was watching it, I was thinking, well, if Detroit wins this game, they clinch a wild card. So really, it does become a do-or-die game for Green Bay. Was that the outcome that Packer fans should want, the Cowboys rolling through the Lions the way they did?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's arguments to be made both ways. I still think even if Detroit had won that game and knew that they'd be in the playoffs already, they'd still want to win that division,
right,
and be able to play at home in the playoffs. Plus, if they had won that game, they also still would have been in the running for a first-round bye,
right,
in the playoffs. So Detroit still would have had a lot on the line. The other side of it is, well, Detroit loses. They're coming into this big game with the Packers on a two-game losing streak, you know, kind of lost some of the momentum, the mojo, whereas the Packers obviously have this five-game winning streak coming in. So there's that side of it as well. The other scenario, playoff-wise, in order for both teams to be already in the playoffs before the game kicks off on Sunday night, it would require the Redskins to lose to the Giants and the Buccaneers to lose to the Panthers.
Right.
Now, if the Redskins were to lose but the Buccaneers were to win, then whether or not the Packers and Lions are already in the playoffs before they play depends on each team's individual tiebreaker with Tampa Bay, which starts to get a little complicated.
Yeah.
But so we'll just have to see how everything plays out on Sunday afternoon. But as back to your original question, what should Packer fans have been rooting for, Dallas versus Detroit? I think the stakes are really high for Detroit either way. So
yeah,
there's a part of me that says, hey, kind of knock them down another peg and maybe get them a little nervous that they're going to blow their playoff,
sure,
spot that seemed to be so certain for them a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and we wanted to talk about all these different playoff scenarios and where are the Packers the sixth seed a week ago, and hey, now they're technically leading the NFC North and all these different, you know, kind of weird convoluted situations. This is what's interesting, though. Mike McCarthy, the one constant this whole time has been get to 10 wins and let's talk about it. And then as it turns out, this Packers versus Lions game comes out to being the battle for the 10th win.
Right.
So it's just, it's very funny to me. I think that's one of the beauty and poetic things of the NFL is that you could play all these games. This will be the 256th game, as we've all been hearing about. But at the end of the day, it all gets decided in that 60 minutes. All the hours, all the, you know, practices, all the games, all the adversity. it's all about who's the better team now. And again, and I've said it before on this show, when the Packers got through their midseason stretch there and they had to get through that November kind of skid, this is all they wanted. And now they're again in a situation in which they control it. And if you're Detroit, you know, they've been through this scenario before where they've had a lead, where they've had an advantage, and they let it slip through their fingers. How are they going to respond? So I think when you look at the narrative, and I'm sure how it'll be built this week, this is going to be something that I know a lot of people are going to have their eyes on.
Yeah, and let's not discount the fact that I believe it's been 20-plus years since the Detroit Lions won a division championship. Right. Now, they've been to the playoffs as a wild card here and there in that time, but they have not been a champion of the NFC Central / NFC North for an awfully long time, and I think that's going to mean something. That's the message that Jim Caldwell is going to pound home this week in Detroit.
Absolutely, and that's the most sobering thing. If you go to Ford Field, seeing those banners and seeing that it's been that long since they had a division title, I know in Green Bay they don't hoist them. We've heard about that before, but for Detroit, that's a big deal. And I know this is something that I think when you look at Matt Stafford and what they've been through this season, they feel like they're a good team, even though they have some areas where they have some weaknesses. They've made it this far and want to finish it out too.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, an interesting development with the Packers offense that we did not talk about on yesterday's show. Randall Cobb ends up missing the game against the Vikings with an ankle injury. He tried to play through the ankle injury in Chicago. It didn't go very well. He clearly was not himself out there and was essentially a non-factor in the game. So they sit him down against the Vikings, and undrafted rookie Geronimo Allison ends up taking Cobb's snaps, many of them from the slot, his normal position. And, boy, you couldn't have asked for much better production from a young up-and-coming player stepping into a big situation.
It is, Mike. And this is something, too. When you get a young guy, an undrafted rookie, you think about it, maybe outside of Jared Boykin in 2013, I can't think of a lot of guys who have been sort of thrown in there the way that Allison has been this season, and really worked his way up the depth chart too to be the next man up when Randall Cobb doesn't go. And as Mike McCarthy talked about on Monday, it was basically just a situation of them telling Cobb to sit down, live to fight another day.
Certainly wasn't Cobb's choice.
No, wasn't.
He wanted to play just like he did against Chicago, but discretion may be the better part of valor.
Absolutely. And so you get a guy like Allison, a young, hungry guy that knows the playbook now, has been here the whole year, even though he split his time on the practice squad and active roster. And I thought, again, you hear Edgar Bennett talk about all the time, made the most of his opportunities. 4 catches for 66 yards, including that 32-yarder, I think, right before halftime. It was tremendous production out of that young man for him to step into those shoes and to be really gain that trust and take advantage of those throws from Aaron Rodgers. We've already talked about his size. I mean, we went back to training camp. This is one of the guys that really put up the biggest eye-propping performances out of that class of UFAs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was necessarily a surprise to see him jump in there and contribute, but to be as consistent as he was, and didn't seem like there was a lot of mental errors. He didn't really have any drops. Just caught the balls that were thrown to him, and ultimately with this offense and the way that Jordy Nelson was playing, that's really what the Packers needed from him with not having Randall Cobb in that game.
Yeah, for sure, and we'll see if the Packers can get Cobb back for the game on Sunday in Detroit. That's obviously the goal in terms of sitting him down for a game with the hope that he would be healthy enough then to play and contribute and be a factor against the Lions. But I think the thing that stood out the most to me when I went back and watched some of the game film with Allison is that his production came in a number of different ways. And what I mean by that is, you mentioned the 32-yarder down the sideline,
yeah,
a coverage bust by the Vikings. They had two guys run with Adams. They left Allison all alone. He makes the play, gets up the sideline, big game, gets out of bounds to stop the clock. But he also had a really nice diving catch over the middle on a 3rd and 10. That moved the chains for a first down, was not an easy play. And then shortly after that, was part of a scramble drill with Rodgers, where Rodgers was under pressure from the blitz and he's trying to get away. And Allison, you know, the play breaks down there. He's just got to free himself and give Rodgers a target to throw to. And boom, he makes another catch and another positive gain. So doing things in different ways, not necessarily just pigeonholed, okay, this is what we can get out of you because you're just a young guy. Right. That's not what this was.
No, not at all. And those are the two biggest plays I thought in the game when you look at his particular game. Coming back on the scramble drill, you know, a very heady play by him. Not a lot of rookies are accustomed to doing those things and knowing where to be to open themselves up to Rodgers. But that third down catch is probably the one that impressed me the most, just based on the fact that that's the type of ball, Mike, you've seen it so many times when you watch NFL. Those guys could very easily let that thing touch the ground, and then it becomes a debate of, you know, whether or not they trapped it. Yeah. He didn't do that. With basically an inch to work with underneath him, made sure he caught that ball, didn't allow it to make contact with the ground, end up being a really important play to keep that drive going. And that's what you expect out of him. And one other thing I thought was really important for the Packers offense in general, they've done it this entire season, but no one is really pigeonholed to a particular position. You saw Jordy Nelson line up in the slot. As you said, you saw Geronimo Allison in the slot. Devontae Adams worked in the slot and the backfield.
Yeah.
They really have opened up those receivers that, okay, if you're the defense, you don't necessarily know that you're going to be in you're the nickel corner, that you're going to be facing Randall Cobb. They could mix and match it a lot of different ways, and I think subtly that's been something that's really benefited this offense, not only with not having Cobb in that game, but really the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's interesting how different a look that is when you go from Randall Cobb, 5'11", yeah, in the slot, to all of a sudden it's a 6'5 guy in the slot. That gives the defense a completely different look, even though right. It might be the exact same formation, you know. And the other thing, I have to give Allison a lot of credit, too, because the last time we really saw him in a significant contributory role was back in the game in Atlanta. He got his first touchdown. Well, that's a pretty long layoff, so to speak. Not that he wasn't doing anything, but that's a long layoff before you're thrown back into a significant role again. And he responded, you know, and that's not easy to do. That it's not easy to be kind of on the sidelines, both literally and figuratively, for such a long stretch, and then to just get out there and produce when your number's called.
Yeah, and especially for a young guy that doesn't have all that experience and has to find ways in practice to really simulate those reps. I think that said a lot about Allison, but also said a lot about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, for him, yes, Jordy Nelson had another awesome day and is having another tremendous year. But the way he used Allison, the way he used Adams, he went to Jared Cook. I know Jared Cook only had 3 catches for 37 yards, but again, had a pretty big impact on that game. And when you're talking about a 6'5 guy, he's one of those guys, too, that you can use inside and outside equally. So really being able to spread the ball around, I thought was a big catalyst to that victory.
Yeah, for sure. With that, Wes, let's throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we've touched on this a few times over the last few weeks, but it bears repeating just because it's such a critical factor in the NFL and in wins and losses, and something you certainly would like to see the Packers continue into Week 17. And that's what they're doing in the turnover department, both in terms of getting turnovers on defense and the offense protecting the ball. The flip of the script with regards to where the Packers were in turnover ratio for the season a few weeks ago compared to where they were now, just a night and day difference, and it's been a big part of what's going on here.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things, too, talking to some of the coaches about this on Monday and hearing what, you know, Clay Matthews had to say about it after the game, too, has been not only have the Packers been able to turn over the football, 12 takeaways in the last 3 weeks, the points that they've generated off those turnovers, 52 points, they've scored on 8 of the 12. Three of them happened either at the end of the first half or at the end of a game, so they just kneeled it out. Only one time out of those 12 have they actually punted the ball back.
That's amazing when you think about it. Yeah.
And so that tells you, one, I mean, where the defense is giving them the ball, and in the instances in which they're not getting great field position, the offense is still driving. after that. But even more than that, I saw a statistic out there, and I can't remember exactly who I should credit this to, where it came from. So it was not me, not taking credit for it. But somebody said that the 52 points that the Packers have scored off turnovers in the last 3 weeks are more than, I think it's 13 teams have scored all season off turnovers.
Off turnovers, wow.
So for the Packers to do this, and to get the production that they have, it's one thing to turn over the football. That's something that Dom Capers' defense, they've always strive to do. But for the offense to also capitalize on it, that's been a big key here for them getting on this late season run.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We heard from Mike McCarthy on Monday, and I kind of liked his line about with regards to turnovers. He's like, "Hey, I'm not a wait for the ball to bounce our way kind of guy." Right. I mean, you know, the Packers train for this. They work on putting their players in position, recognizing opportunities for turnovers. The Clay Matthews strip sack being the obvious example. You're coming off the blind side. You're trying to make that hit or swoop with the arm. Or whatever it takes to try to get that ball out. That's what they train for. That being said, there have been a few of these that have been some lucky bounces along the way. I mean, a couple of those interceptions against Seattle, the ball was bouncing off of shoulder pads or helmets, and then the Packers are there to make the interception. Now, granted, sometimes those aren't easy catches, but in this particular case, the Packers made the catches. The one turnover against Minnesota also was the flubbed shotgun snap. Right. Kenny Clark kind of being Johnny on the spot there, beat the center down to the ball to cover it up and get the turnover. So there's been a little bit of luck involved, but that being said, the combination of the plays that they're making and getting a couple of bounces to go your way has sort of led to this big groundswell in the turnover department statistically.
Right, and Mike McCarthy had a really interesting comment, I thought, on Monday, and it's probably common sense to a certain extent, but, I mean, you really don't think about it often, is that, okay, the quarterback touches the ball every single play. The opportunity at a strip sack is really the most like elementary opportunity that you can have. It's earned. You have to earn it.
Yeah.
But when you do have it, that's when the ball is really at its most vulnerable, because even if he gets it out, your secondary needs to make a play on the ball when it's not being intended for them. So when you get the Peppers sack against Chicago,
yep,
that ends up being a turnover. When you get the Matthews one that Mike Daniels ends up recovering, those are really the big game-changing plays. And as much as I know Clay Matthews wants the sack, if Bradford just happens to get the ball out, well, now he's throwing it under duress. Well, then maybe that also affords you an opportunity. So those chances, those pressure-generated turnovers and really duress-related plays, that's one of the big keys here for the Packers, and they've been doing a really good job of it the last few weeks.
Yeah, no question. And then also the offense protecting the football. I don't want to jinx anything, but Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception since Nashville, Tennessee. And the only turnover the Packers have had in this current winning streak was a fumbled snap against Houston down by the goal line. So hopefully the Packers can keep that going. But we got to get to a break. With that, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we can't get too far into this week without revisiting a little history here. I remember when we were getting this show started in the summer, we're looking at the Packers schedule coming up and we were saying, hey, look, Packers Lions in week 17, the previous 3 years, 2013, 2014, 2015, the NFC North title has been on the line right for the Packers and whichever opponent in week 17. Wouldn't that be something if it ends up 4 years in a row? And here we are going to Ford Field on Sunday night, and for the fourth year in a row, the division title is on the line in the final game.
Like I've said to you before, Mike, these schedule makers, they know something that we don't.
Somehow.
It's not even like it's been, okay, it's been the Packers and Lions every year. No, it's been the Packers and every team in the NFC North.
Yeah, it's been everybody.
Basically interchangeably.
Yeah.
And so for them to have it work out this way again, it's overwhelming. But whatever the case may be, and I thought this was interesting, you and I discussed this a little bit during our pre-production meeting, the 2013 draft class, you look at Dayton Jones, you know, David Bakhtiari, Micah Hyde, J.C. Treader, all the guys that are still left from that draft class, they haven't known anything other than this Week 17 high-stakes game. I mean,
yep,
the Packers haven't had to play in every year, but that game has meant something. for them and their playoff seeding. And here we are once again with the NFC North title on the line.
Yeah, it's amazing. And even if you want to go back one more year to 2012, the division title wasn't on the line.
Right.
But the Packers were playing for a first-round bye in Minnesota, while Minnesota needed to beat the Packers to get into the playoffs, which is what they did. So these Week 17 games have been big for quite some time now. And you just wonder how much longer the schedule makers can roll the dice and come up right in these situations. But what you said about the 2013 draft class, the Packers are a young team. They always are. These guys and anybody who's joined the team since 2013, as you said, they don't know any different. This is not a pressure situation that these guys are going to shy away from. They've been there. They know what it takes. They've experienced it both ways, the wins and the losses, and certainly like Chicago in 2013, dramatic fashion,
right,
where the game comes right down to the final moments. So a lot of experience in the Packers' pocket when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And if you want to go back to 2012, guys like Mike Daniels and some of these older veterans, knowing what that's like to lose a game against Minnesota and have to come back the next week and beat the Vikings on a short week.
Yeah.
In Green Bay. It's just all these experiences, they're really important. As Mike McCarthy said, as they go through the week this week, that's all wisdom that these veterans and young players are going to really depart to all these rookies now and tell them what that's like and what to expect once they get to Ford Field, because everything is on the line. This is everything you've worked for. This is training camp. This is OTAs. This is every practice. It all comes down to 60 minutes. And again, I think that's really is the beautiful part of this game, that everything you put in, it all comes down to that one do-or-die moment.
Yeah, for sure. And from a seeding perspective, here's the situation. If the Packers win the division, they will get either the 3 or the 4 seed, depending on what happens with the Seahawks. If you lose but can get the last wild card spot, if Washington doesn't take the last wild card spot, then you'd be the 6. So you're in a situation where you could be as high as the 3 seed or completely out of the playoffs with this one final game. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Definitely.
But we got to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.